I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, this, maybe I guess we'll start out with the public notice. This is the May 2nd, 2022 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, and State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the township website, the bulletin boards at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Butcher and Johnson are absent.
Okay, so we've just circumvented.
Tower move.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Remember, we're back in person. Contest is on.
Okay.
Ms. Butcher?
Absent. Well, we've already pre-declared.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, well, I guess for the formality, I'll just call. Mr. Blaze?
Here.
Mr. Higgins?
He's here. He's a student.
He's right. Present. As you know, Johnson's absent.
Yes, thank you. Ms. Blanahan?
Here.
Mr. Lazarus?
Here.
Mr. Millay?
Only absent mine.
And Mr. Sibley?
Here.
Don't forget me. Ours we did.
Yeah, we. Okay, so we have meeting minutes on the agenda, but they aren't quite ready yet. So we will just carry them until the next meeting. I'm sure that doesn't disappoint too many of us, but we will get them in due course. So, yeah. We have no resolutions, but we do now have a couple of requests for extension of time.
You must have.
I don't think I did. Maybe I did.
You must have kicked the panic.
So we have Chabad of Hunterdon County.
And right now there's no one here from Chabad. So, I spoke with the rabbi, and he accidentally told his attorney that the meeting was at 7:30. So I think you should move on to the next item on the agenda. And when they get here, and you...
We'll just, so why don't we move the next item up, which is Annandale Village. So we'll move that one up, and then hopefully by that time the Chabad team is ready. Annandale Village, Block 53, Lot 3, 6 West Street. So
I'm going to recuse from this one.
You're going to recuse? All right.
Use it or
right.
You can use the mic. Just try not to touch the table mic.
Yeah,
it seems to be.
In fact, Fred, if you're sitting down, that table mic will pick up everything you say.
That's even better.
Yeah, the handheld mic is really if you have a witness. And my suggestion, Mr. Chairman, is to consolidate the two Annandale Village applications. They both deal with the same property. They both seek extensions, but they seek extensions of different things. I suggest you consolidate them together. The applicant's attorney, I assume, has no objection to that.
None whatsoever.
Okay, so these are extension of time for signatures on the final site plan and final subdivision plan.
Right, so, Mr. Jelly, why don't you first enter your appearance, but then read from your partner's letter so the board knows exactly what you guys are asking him to do.
For the record, Frederick Zelli, Bazzani, Leffler, and Zelli, Basking Ridge, on behalf of the applicant, Annandale Village, LLC. As the chair correctly indicated, this is an application for extensions of the signings of the subdivision deeds and the map, and also just as a matter of housekeeping, perhaps, for extension of a C1 variance for a front yard setback, extension of a C2 variance for lot coverage, as indicated, for the subdivision deed to be signed, for the major site plan approval to be signed, and both to be recorded.
So,
I'd like me to cover the reasons I can, otherwise they're set.
Yeah, just hold up on the reasons. I just want to, yeah, because we're consolidating this, right? So there was an initial resolution adopted in 2018. Don't have to deal with that. Flash forward to 2020. There were three resolutions adopted in 2020. Resolution, and I'm not testifying, these are matters of public record. Resolution, in fact, Denise uploaded.
They're on our in our packages.
Right. So just for the record.
Right.
Resolution 2020-05 re-granted C1, C2 variances and minor subdivision approval that had been granted in 2018, but with a minor subdivision, it's like a little quirk. If you apply for a preliminary subdivision and the board grants it, you get a 3-year period plus 2 1-year extensions. Then if you apply for final, you get a 2-year protection plus 3 1-year extensions. So you can get anywhere from like 5 to 10 years to record your map. If you apply for minor subdivision approval, there's nothing the board can do to alter the following. The municipal land use law provides you have 190 days to file the subdivision plat from the date the resolution is adopted, and the MLUL allows up to 1 1-year extension, but it's not like willy-nilly. It has to be due to a delay outside the applicant's control. So they ran out of time to record the subdivision deed in 2018. The board re-granted it on notice 2020-05. They are seeking an extension. They're not seeking a re-grant of the C1 and C2 variances and minor subdivision. They're seeking an extension for 1 year based on the fact that, and now can you give your reason?
Well, by and large, it was, you know, obviously COVID was involved in delaying everything everywhere. But in addition to that, one of the really major delays was the township's ability to get approvals from the state itself, from the DEP and from Department of Community Affairs. Despite diligent efforts to do that, it just took a while. And we couldn't move forward with what we needed to do until those approvals were in. I understand they are now in, and we're ready to proceed with the recording of signing and recording of the deed and of the map.
So that's one part of it. That is, they're seeking to extend the C1 variance, the C2 variance, and the time to record the subdivision deed under Resolution 2020-05. Seeking a year on that. And then there's a separate resolution, 2020-06, granted an extension for them to sign the preliminary site plan, which has subsequently been done. And then there's a third resolution, 2020-07, which granted final site plan approval, and they're now seeking to have that extended. And my only question is, when do you want that extended to?
As long as possible.
Okay. So can you ask... I know that your engineer is sitting there.
We are.
Over your ranch.
Mr. Besser, are you behind me?
Yes, I am.
Can you come on up to the table?
That's you. Give me more.
Can we get you sworn in? Can you first identify yourself for the record?
Christopher Nusser, N-U-S-S-E-R, with Engineering and Land Planning Associates, 140 West Main Street, Highbridge, New Jersey.
And you are the applicant's engineering expert, correct?
Correct.
And you're a PE, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You question is how
swear,
much
the testimony, swear or affirm the testimony you're going to give in this matter will be the truth, hold truth, nothing but the truth.
I do.
Okay. When do you want the extension? How long an extension do you want?
I mean, reasonably, we need to have a final sign-off from the county, which they need to check and have in hand. And the last one we sent, is that me doing that?
Yeah, that's my mic. I am the culprit.
Oh. Okay. Recently, we have the county need to give Larry a copy of that approval, and then I just need Larry's final sign-off on that.
So you want until?
I mean, 3 months would be nice. 4 would be nicer, but certainly we'd hope to be done sooner, but I feel like I said that last time, and here we are.
Can I make, how about you ask for 6 months?
Sure. I would gladly take 6 months.
So 6 months from
don't want it,
today would be what? December 2nd?
November.
November 2nd.
November 2nd, 2022. That's the extension you want on the preliminary?
Yeah.
And
no, on final.
Pardon me. That's the extension you want on the time to get the final site plan signed.
Signed, correct.
And we're not going to talk about
dates
on the extension of the subdivision. We're just going to talk about time.
Yep.
You want the maximum 1 year,
correct, the maximum
based
one
on what you already
correct
discussed that was in the letter, right?
Correct.
That's your application in a nutshell.
So I want to go out. What 1 year?
You want the dates?
Well, roughly. Don't even do the exact. But I mean, I'm just, or I don't want to go down there.
I don't think you want to go down there.
Okay.
I think just suffice it to say that they want the maximum extension.
Please.
So none of those are totally tough to COVID legislation works in this?
No.
No. That would have expired anyway.
Right. To make a very long story short,
the emergency number.
Right.
Anybody on the board have any questions?
This is an effort that began when I was brand new mayor, so, you know, a little bit of extra time is nothing.
Okay, any questions or concerns? If not, is there a motion to provide those? Request the extension of time for 6 months to November 2nd and the extension for
a year.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinman?
Yes.
Mr. Roberts?
Yes.
And Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
You guys want to tell them what you told them when you were here last time? Everyone loves the project. They want to see it built. They don't want to see it
Back
here again.
So I heard they're coming to grab it November 2nd.
Thank you again.
So that takes care of the two Annandale Village applications.
Okay. Mr. Mullay is back. Yeah.
No.
So I suppose it's now 7:15.
Listen, if Kabah's not ready to go,
if they're still out, we'll go the next. The next item up is a public hearing, and this is 1233 Route 31 LLC, lots 10 and 11. Applicant seeking preliminary and final major site plan approval and C variance relief to demolish existing improvements on Lot 11 and accommodate the development of a new two-story commercial building to be occupied by Hernan Roofing and Siding and Window Company.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, professionals. Mr. Gill, it's good to see you again after several years.
Yeah.
It's been difficult, that's for sure. My name is Jeff Kersey. I'm an attorney in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. I'm here representing the applicant, which is 1233 Route 31 LLC. That is a limited liability company. It was formed specifically for the purchase of Lot 11, Block 88 in Clinton Township. Next to me is Fred Pioni. Fred is one of the two members. His wife, Kim, is also a member of the LLC. And importantly, as we go through this process, Fred is also the owner of Lot 10, directly adjacent, of course, And that house is currently Hunterdon Roofing, Siding, and Window Company, a business that that name has existed probably for 20-some years, but the building itself used for the same type of business has been in existence in Clinton Township for probably closing in on half a century, or something very close to that, I would think. Fred operates the Hunterdon Roofing, Siding, and Window Company with his wife and his son, Joseph, who is here, who won't be testifying. It's a family business. They've been good Clinton Township commercial residents for a period of time. I'm very familiar with the property on Route 31. Successfully and wonderfully, Fred's business has grown. It's as simple as that. Fred was a hard worker, and through the course of time, developing not just the roofing business, but siding and windows. He now needs more room. It's as simple as that. He has a small existing building that you're aware of, which houses an office, a showroom, and it has very, very limited storage. And as it relates to negative and positive criteria, that's one of the biggest problems here. He just can't get delivery anymore at that location, primarily because of the trucking industry. It no longer supplies few windows or a few boards or whatever the material may be, and now comes with 40-foot trucks. Everything looks like the Amazon trucks, sometimes 55 feet. I didn't even realize they made them that big. I guess we should as they ride by us on Route 31. So Fred needs to indeed expand his business with the permission of the board so that he will operate a larger showroom, office, and storage facility. The storage is only related to his business. For instance, the windows that would be dropped, he can only work so many jobs at a time, he'll need more. We have hired, of course, Mr. Nusser as our engineer, who will address all the complicated issues in this particular matter. I've been before the boards for 42 years, and sometimes I think we all know that the attorney is the master of ceremony, and you want to hear from the individuals who are most important, and that is the applicant. Our engineer, and of course your professionals. So with that in mind, I would call my first witness to this.
Let's get the people that are going to be testifying sworn. So,
yes.
Raise your right hand. Does everyone swear or affirm the testimony you're going to give in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, so start with Chris. Identify yourself for the record, even though you did in the last application. You got to do it again.
Yep.
Tell your last name, your relationship to the applicant or the board, as the case may be.
Christopher Nusser, N-U-S-S-E-R, with Engineering and Land Planning Associates, 140 West Main Street, Highbridge, New Jersey, the applicant's engineer.
Frederick Peoni, owner of the property.
Okay. Spell your last name.
P-E-O-N-I.
Tom Barron, Board of Planning, Jersey Associates, and
I'm sorry, sure.
Board of Planning.
Larry Cabir with Ron McDonald, PLEDIDR, Board Engineer.
Jim Mazzucco, Board Landscape Architect, Codeberg and Company Landscape Architecture.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you very much, Mr. Phil. Then I do call Mr. Peoni as my first witness. Proceed, Jonathan. Mr. Peoni, you are indeed the owner of Hunterdon Roofing, Siding, and Window Company. Is that correct?
Yes.
And how long have you been in business?
41 years with my father.
Okay. What was the name of your father's business before you developed the business name of Hunterdon Roofing, Siding, and Window Company?
Spruce Run Aluminum was there for a long time.
You and your wife are the owners, Kim, of Lot 10, Block 88 in Clinton Township. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you bought that from your father after he retired from the business?
Yes.
He still Kim still works with you at this location on Route 31?
Yes, she does. She runs the office.
Okay. And your son, Joseph, who's here, he also is working with you?
Correct.
Is it fair, with my representation fair in my introduction, that you are indeed a family business?
100% correct. Okay.
Very briefly, what do you do? What does your business do?
Residential home improvements, roofing, siding, windows and doors, stone facing, almost every any exterior of your homes.
Perhaps exclusive of 2020, February 2020. Is it fair to say that your business has grown during the last several years?
More than doubled almost, okay. And more, yes.
As a result of the more than doubling in business, has the business put pressure on your current location? That is the property on Block 10?
Yes, it can't handle the business that we're doing.
Okay. How many employees do you have that are actually in the structure on an average day?
On an average day, there's probably about 5 people in the office at one time. There's 9 full-time employees that are in and out between project manager, salesman, who will be going out on sites and stuff.
Do you also have customers that have to come to that location in order to do business with Hunterdon Roofing and Siding?
We do have customers come in sometimes, and the plan is we'll have more customers come in with the newer building and more stuff on display and better showroom.
There came a time probably last summer at this point where you and your wife, as members of a limited liability company, purchased 1233 Route 31. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. And what existed there? We'll strike that. That property in its condition that we can see today, was that the condition of the property during most of the time that you owned the Lot 10?
As far as what I remember for the last 20 years, yes. What I could see, because it was very overgrown. It was hard for a lot of you guys to see what it really looked like.
And there came a time when you had the opportunity to purchase the property, is that correct?
Yes.
And you did through this LLC, is that right?
Correct.
And your intention in purchasing the property was what, Mr. Piani?
To expand my business and work more efficiently and run a better business.
Yeah. Do you intend to have either additional or new showrooms in if the board grants us approval?
Yes.
Do you intend to have new offices if the board grants us approval?
Correct.
Do you intend to store material associated only with Hunterdon Roofing, Siding, and Window Company's projects if, in fact, the board grants us approval?
Yes.
Is it your intention to also continue to operate at either offices or showroom or something incidental to your business in the existing building on Lot 10?
Yes.
Okay. And this application seeks a separation of approvals. By that I mean not so much separation as a unity in purpose, but you're asking that the property remain in your and Kim names, Lot 10, is that accurate?
Correct.
And also Lot 11 would be in the LLC's name, but again doing the same operation, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. The condition of the property, I know it's visible to the eye, but for the record purposes, can you tell me what it was like existing next to that property?
I'm sure it didn't help my business any when people pulled in there and seeing what it was like from what they could see, but most of you probably know that it was very overgrown for many years, and there was one person still living in that building till last July 1st, and more of a be a hermit. I don't know how to describe them properly. Oh, there was tarps on the roof. There was. It was
I'm not going to testify, but there were goat idols.
There was 30 cats living there. That's all taken care of. It was the mother had passed away, I guess, over the years, and there was like 5 relatives to the estate, and we were trying to buy it for quite a while, and. The other 4 agreed. The only one that we had that took a long time to get this through with was the one that was living the property for free.
Now, I talked about the fact that with the increase in business came an increase in the demand for a product, for material to do your business, correct?
Yes.
Right. Tell me some of the problems that to the board that you experienced with the growth of your business and the trucking industry as it exists presently.
Well, when there was one this morning, a 54-foot tractor trailer out on the shoulder of the highway, we get window deliveries anymore. We receive anywhere from 70 to over 100 windows at a time, 5, 10, 50 houses or more. And they used to deliver them in 25 and 35-foot trucks, pull right in my driveway. We unload them into the garage. They can't do that anymore. They consolidate, they put more jobs on different contractors on one truck, and that's how they do business. There's no way to get around it. And if we did this the way we want to do it, and pulling the trucks in and around and out around the other side, it's a lot more efficient, a lot safer.
I know they have the plans, and I know where the other side is, but as you understand what Chris is going to testify to, your engineer, how will the trucks enter the property, and how will they leave the property if the plans, as at least shown...
They're coming through our same driveway, and then the new driveway will go behind the building and back and out to Red School Lane.
Okay. And if indeed, if this board, after hearing Chris's presentation and looking and seeing and hearing from its professionals, grants this approval, what would your first intention be as it relates to the existing dwellings or properties or boards on Block 11?
I will have them demolished as soon as I have my approvals.
And from there, then you would operate your business. Is that correct?
Yes.
I have no further questions.
Any questions from anybody at this point?
It was never like that before, but the last several years, that's what they do. Yeah, they just they can't. There's no way for them to swing into the driveway. Most of them will not. When you want to have every 10, Mike, there's a couple times, maybe one of every 10, we stop traffic on the highway if he's willing to back in with his 18, but it's not the best situation.
It's also illegal, but that's separation.
I'm sorry.
Well, he's not the driver.
I am.
But most of them won't even do it, refuse to do it. So we have to back up another truck to their truck, load them on it, and pull them back into the garages.
I believe it is, and I'm just trying to confirm, it's lot 3.01. That the land board?
Yeah.
Do you know who owns that lot?
Which lot? Bunt? Is that the Bunt?
Yeah.
And there are structures, and those structures that exist there?
I have a shed back there, and then several of my dump trailers are back there.
Okay, so that was actually from your operation. I wasn't sure if it was from the fire.
No, they're my stuff back there. I built a building for my father, and I never even got a survey. Anyway.
As part of this application, you're proporting to move the stuff off that lot.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes. That's part of the positive price.
I was just trying to get fire.
No, that's fine.
Whether you inherited it or how it came.
As far as the title?
No. I thought perhaps that it didn't want to move on that encroachment that occurred.
We didn't, again, not testifying, but we didn't know of the encroachment until such time as we did the survey for the application. Chris brought it to our attention, and then obviously if we get the approvals, nothing's going to be back there unless we can buy it from Ms. Bunt and maybe be back before the board another time. Who knows? But we understand. That issue as it exists now would be remedied.
Okay, good.
We're looking at lot 10 then, he's on change. We're really talking about changes for lot 11.
Yes, I think, Chris, there's an overlay of some sort. From an engineering perspective, that's for Chris to say. But we're not changing anything, but we're having a common driveway, access off of 31. There's going to be an easement over that property to 11. So they remain married, if you will, but no, the development is going to be just on lot 11. Is that correct, Chris?
Is there also a use of the property of lot 10 onto adjoining lot 9? Is there a fence that would be to the building?
I'll defer to the engineer.
Just the gas station. It's not my fence.
I think there's even a gate, I believe, in the parking lot.
Why don't you wait for the engineer? Because it might be that the gas station stands is actually encroaching on his property, in lot 10. No, I understand. There's a lot to ask the engineer.
Before the engineer, I knew you just touched on it, but if there are two separate lots, just when you, maybe it's the right time, but the attorney's here too. There's got to be some I'm not a lawyer, but some maintained easement or allowed, because you can't have the development on this lot dependent on access from the other lot.
There's a proposed access easement.
Okay. That's the thing that I'm just still struggling with, is normally it's one lot, it's one combined thing. But
the question that I have at that point is, there's an easement proposed granting ingress for lot 11. You also need the egress on the Schoolhouse Road.
Chris will testify to all of that.
That's fine. I just wanted to, as long as the attorney was
there. We looked at the maps, and me included, and what we really understood most about them is the schematic of the nice building. Other than that, it's to the professionals.
Okay.
Mr. Drill understands it, but I don't as well.
Okay.
I guess, can I ask a few issues just to clear that out of the way? So, you have the existing building on lot 10. Can you just give an overview of the proposed uses for that?
Sure. Be happy to do that. What does existing property on lot 10 have in it now? What does it serve?
We have 7 desks in there, one right over the top of the other. I have some window displays, which should be 10 times a lot bigger than they are to show more of my product. These garages are full of windows and materials.
Okay. And indeed, by a resolution of the board,
the Board of Adjustment, not the Planning Board. Right?
The Board of Adjustment in 2000 and February 9th, 1999. You also have a residence there, correct?
There is a apartment above the office that at one time my mother and father lived in. Okay. Where they went to Florida and put it down.
Other than that lot not being burdened to the same extent it currently is, if we have the development, for instance, abandoning the encroachment in the back of 10. Is it going to remain the same and be used for offices, showroom?
Yes, we'll let you spread out a little more and work a lot more efficiently.
How about the residents?
The residents would remain under the resolution.
I think there's going to be questions from the professionals on the parking, et cetera.
How is on the plan it says it's a 3-story frame building on lot 10, correct?
The 3-story?
I know, it says 3 stories. If the answer is 2 stories, you might want to say, but I'm just asking.
Yeah.
The plan says 3 stories from the building.
It's 2 stories.
Okay. When Chris gets up, that's going to be a correction, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now. So, there's a 2-story frame building on lot 10, correct?
You have to answer.
Yes.
Okay. And that has an attached garage, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you already testified in the garage, you're filled with windows and material used in the business, right?
Correct. Yes.
So how is the 2-story frame building split up between your office use and the residential use?
The first floor is all offices, and then there's a deck and stairs up the back, go to the part that's on the second floor.
And who lives up in the second floor apartments, and how many apartments are there?
There's only one. I have a tenant up there now. It was when we bought it, just like it was from the previous people my father bought it from. They lived up there. My parents did live up there until they passed.
Okay, so when did this latest tenant move in?
This latest tenant moved in last September.
And if you have such a need for space, why keep the tenant in there? Why not make the whole building part of the?
That would be kind of awkward.
Operation?
It's awkward, very awkward to get up there, bring customers up there to the second floor and all.
If you use the existing rear entrance, correct?
Yes.
Is there some interior staircase or something?
There is right by the front door, an interior staircase going up also to that second floor unit. Okay.
Is that interior staircase used right now?
Very rarely.
But if that was used, you could make the apartment up on the second floor part of the commercial development, correct?
And have more offices up there?
Correct.
It could be, but it's not the most efficient way for us to do it, run a business.
Okay. So how are you going to efficiently have part of your offices in a 2-story frame building and part of the offices in the proposed new building on lot 11?
I have a salesman in one and then my office manager, my wife, the office manager, and the other one, along with the other lady that's in my office.
You're going to have your wife in the building on lot 10, and you're going to be on lot 11?
We'll get along a lot better like that.
Yeah.
Watch out, that's on the right.
All right, thank you.
I have two sales. Just to,
I get it.
I have two full-time salesmen, two full-time project managers, and my son. So there's just a lot more need for space.
And then the only other question is, why don't you just combine the lots then, if you're going to have the two-story frame building on lot 10 part of the business? Why not just merge them?
At my old age, but there's an opportunity maybe to sell one building off or something. I don't know. I don't want to limit myself to.
But if you sell one building off, it's going to be going, I mean, again, assuming that the board approves this, knowing what the board has done in the past, they're going to require cross-access easements.
Right.
So there's going to be cross-access easements with them. So if you sell it off, it's going to go with a cross-access easement.
That's what I was raising before, which is the one lot's dependent on the other lot. So, you know, you're joining them even
if
you're not.
One way out. The way in is on lot 10, and the way out is on lot 11, correct? That's what the plan shows.
Well, actually,
that's for your
engineer. Chris will address that, yeah.
Okay.
Chris will address that.
Okay.
Not to prolong this, but just a few more use questions. So one has to do with, and this may be a Chris question, obviously you need for indoor space would mean that you have no proposed outdoor storage. Is that fair to assume?
We don't want to have outdoor storage. I want everything inside. A lot cleaner, a lot better. I have more product get wasted or damaged from being out in the weather. If there was something left over, if I had it in it, I got to have it organized, take to the next house. With the boxes sit out there, they get wet, they get ruined. It's very frustrating.
Okay. And the same question would be for equipment or vehicles. Do you guys keep anything on site overnight?
A couple of the vehicles or company vehicles are there at night.
What type of vehicles?
One high top van, one box truck, another pickup truck.
Where, based on this site plan, where would they be stored overnight? Typically, would they take up surface parking? Would they be stored in the building, in the bays?
We'll defer to the engineer.
Okay, I'll say that.
Would have been the parking spot.
Okay. I think I had one more. Bear with me. It'll come to me.
Sure.
Move on. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else have any, before we get the engineer up here, you have anything, anybody else for now? All right. Or anybody from the public? Is anybody from the public on this, just out of curiosity, on this application? I'm not seeing anybody that says they are, but even if you're not, speak now. If not, thank you.
The applicant calls Mr. Nusser to the stand, to the table.
Stand. Oh, boy. We've been called to the principal's office once tonight.
Deservedly so, I'm sure.
Good evening. It is nice to see you all in person.
Is this the first 5 minutes?
No.
But for Mr. Nusser, it is not for them.
Yes. But the last time I was supposed to be here in public was actually for your Board of Adjustment, and I had COVID, so I was in the basement.
Right. We let him
virtually.
I tried the first live case 2 weeks ago in Hunterdon County since COVID, and you have to see that courtroom with the plexiglass. It's really a difficult challenge. Just try to talk and get to a witness is really something else, actually. Mr. Drill, again, I'm experienced with you. Would you like
to? You got to get him qualified.
You want me to qualify?
Yep.
Okay. Please state your name for the record, please.
It's Christopher Nusser, N-U-S-S-E-R.
And who is your employer?
Engineering and Land Planning Associates.
How long have you been employed by that company?
15 years.
Okay. Will you give me a brief description of your academic background?
Sure. I graduated from Rutgers University in 2006 with a Bachelor's of Science in Civil Engineering. I'm a licensed professional engineer and planner in the state of New Jersey. Both of those licenses are in good standing. I have been practicing land use engineering since I graduated, and have appeared before probably over 75 boards at this point in the state of New Jersey, including this one.
Okay. So you've previously been determined to be an expert in your field in Clinton Township. Is that correct?
Correct.
I would suggest that Mr. Nusser...
Anybody have any questions? We've seen Mr. Nusser here, so we will...
Back to the principal's office.
...recognize him as an expert. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm going to start by putting up an exhibit, which we will call A1. It is a colorized version of the site plan. And it's augmented with aerial photograph of the areas around the property to help give some better context. Not that you all don't kind of know where this is anyway. It was prepared by my office, and it is dated today's date, May 2nd, 2022.
All right, so we're
gonna... Yeah,
I'm going to give you...
Oh, we have stickers.
We call it Exhibit A1 with today's date. Lower right-hand corner. And you put it right over the title.
Yeah.
What's the title you have coming up again?
It just says Hunter and Window and Siding Exhibit. Nice and to the point. So I know we talked a little bit about the property or properties in question here, because we are lots 10 and 11. Lot 10 is the existing 100 business, which is here on the north side. I want to make sure I don't confuse myself. I've done this before. I think I did this one other application here where I called north up for about a half an hour until I realized that north was left. So on this page, north is to the right. To the north of the site, you have the gas station, which is, you can see the edge of their parking lot and their fenced storage area. That is their area, that fenced area. I know it does connect to the existing structure, but that is not the applicant's fence. To the west up here, we have lot 3.01 in the area that we talked about already, where we're going to be removing some of those features that have been placed there that, as I understand it, have existed since the applicant took title to the property. Not to say that it's right, but it will be corrected. We have lot 11, which is on the corner of Red Schoolhouse and Route 31. Across Red Schoolhouse, we have the office complex that has the municipal building in it. And then to the west of lot 11, you have the water company's lot with Blunt Park to the west of that further. Across Route 31, we have the daycare. And then the daycare, I pass it every day, I should remember things a whole lot better. And then the old landscaper's yard where he tore down all the trees on Saturday.
I'm going to go back to that encroachment very briefly. Just that piece of property that is owned by Ms. Bunt is somewhat stranded. And I guess my question is, if by some chance, you know, not suggesting it will occur, but it might occur, the applicant comes into possession of that property, would that obviate the need for them to remove the encroachment, and how would we address that here?
I don't know if you could have an accessory use without a principal use.
Right.
They'd have to go to the Board of Adjustment to get a D1 variance, because even though it's accessory structure, it's an accessory use and not a principal use.
It still is in the C1 zone, that lot, so. Yeah, it does have, it has a flag pole.
If you merge the lot.
If you consolidate, yeah.
Then it becomes part of this lot, then it's no longer a problem for us.
Just thinking ahead a little bit.
To my understanding of the situation, well, number one, access to that, yes, it comes west and then south out to Red Schoolhouse around the water company lot.
Right.
There's a flagpole that kind of winds its way in. As I understand it, the applicant had looked into acquiring the lot, but I believe the township actually has. What's that?
I think there's a tax name on
it. Is there?
I believe so. It might not be.
I believe the title says that the township has a right, first right of purchase on it, which kind of complicates because it's part of the park.
So.
But yes, but either way. Continuing on. The existing lot 11 has two-story frame dwellings on it. Maybe a little generous, especially with the one further to the rear, the red one, to call it a dwelling still. The white house, which is the one further to the north, closer to lot 10, that actually is a two-family. Had operated. So there was actually three dwelling units on this property at one point in time. I will correct for the record that the existing structure on lot 10 is in fact a two-story building and not a three-story building. And we will certainly update the plans for that. I think very specifically to this property, speaking of lot 11, there's an easement on it, which you can see the line here as I'm highlighting with my nice steady, this is why I wasn't a surgeon, steady hand here. There's an easement that restricts development on the south side of the property along Red Schoolhouse to the water company because they have pipes that run through here. I always wondered why next to the daycare there was a nice green space there, no trees on it, no nothing. It seemed always a bit odd that it was just like that. Well, the water line runs right through there, and it makes perfect sense.
To pump the water.
Right. Yep.
Right. So the water line runs through there, so there are certain restrictions. I believe that documentation was all provided to the board, what the restrictions are, what could be done. I believe you could perform agricultural activities within that space, in access across that space, but beyond that, we can't put any structures or anything like that. When the one call mark out came in, you know, there was lots of please don't hit our pipe, and our answer was we really don't want to. The water company has their access to their lot, not off of Red Schoolhouse, so their access is right at the existing entrance slash exit into lot 11 and just kind of comes right in. It's a fairly infrequently visited site from my experience on it, though they were doing work on it a couple of months ago, so it was maybe a little bit more invested upon, but that is also there. So we do have that restriction. It's 100 feet wide from the property line coming through that easement exists. Both lots are served by a well and by septic systems, and they will continue to be in the proposed condition. Getting on to the proposed, as you can see, principally on here is what's proposed is a partially two-story commercial building. The northern portion of the building, kind of from here over, which is about a 1,600 square foot area, is office showroom space on the second floor with storage on the first floor. Obviously, a whole lot easier to keep the windows and building material on the first floor for access. It's noted on the plan as well that there are two phases to the building construction. the first phase of the building is a 40 by 125 foot piece of the building.
That's a total.
Oh, sorry, yes, 40 by 75. Looking at the wrong dimension on here. And then the final 50 feet of the building, 50 by 40, the southern section of the building would be a second phase.
And where is that noted here?
On the site plan.
I'm on the site plan.
If you look at the building.
Ah, okay.
Phase one, phase two.
Okay, if it hadn't, so. Okay. So phase, what about that hatched area? That's phase one's only on the first floor, not the second floor?
So I'll put up the architecturals in a second. The hatched area is the portion of the building that has a second floor. So there's not a second floor on the entire building. There's a second floor on a 40 by 40 section of the building.
That's the showroom, correct?
And the second floor was the showroom, you said?
Office showroom space, yeah. So the first floor is storage. And then, again, there's a phasing to it, construction costs being what they are. You know, there's an immediate need for that 75 feet, but...
Storage, yes.
And then if there's a need for that second phase... How about here? I'll put up the architecturals.
Can you see this note? It says second story proposed building to be in phase one area only.
Yeah, it's here. And it's built as part of phase one.
It's in my eye base.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Can you give me another sticker?
Are you going to go the architecturals or do you?
No.
There's A2. There's A3.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so architectural plans.
Okay, this is the same architectural plan that's in the board's package?
It should be.
Yeah, it is. So it is. You don't have to mark that as an exhibit if you don't want.
Yes. Okay.
Right? We have A1 and A2 in the board package. Make sure that's the same thing as what you have up there.
And while you're doing that, I'll ask the applicant, your first and most emergent need is storage. That's what you need first and foremost.
Storage and standing office space.
So this is A1, the architect of the architectural plans, not to be confused with exhibit A1, which are plans prepared by Jeffrey A. Fleischer Architects, and these are dated 11/18/2021. This is plans, elevations and floor plans for the building. So as you can see, it confuses me a little bit. The northern side of the building here, looking at it from the front, from the highway, we have the two-story section that we talked about, that portion, and then we just have one story extended. Phase one ending here, and then the second phase being this guy.
That's the east view.
This is the east view looking towards the highway. So we can see there's a false door. There is no entrance on the front of the building, but in order to give it some architectural appeal, because there is a front door to it, there's a false door in that space. There is a wraparound entry porch, which you can see here on the northern side, which then extends along the rear of the building. So again, this is the rear view. This would be facing towards the water company and their lot. So again, very similar architectural style, but it's shown here on the bottom, 3 feet, with horizontal and vertical siding, and then standing seam metal roof. The main entry door, sorry, going a little too fast.
So on the rear elevation, you have 10 by 12 full-up bay doors with some man doors for access into that space. On the northern facade here, so facing...
I'm not turning myself around.
Yes. So facing the existing building, you can see again the wraparound porch, and you can see the main entrance, which is these double doors. And then again, you have the southern facade, which has a man door on the end of it, and otherwise...
Chris, can you show where the face would be?
Sure. So phase one on the street-facing side is up until this point, and then phase two beyond. You have a reverse on the other side here. So you have phase one from here until this point. So this man door, basically if you're looking at it, this man door and these two overhead doors going down, that's the second phase.
Chris, can you remind us where the showroom space is? Is it the first floor or the second?
Second floor.
Is there any handicap access to the second floor?
No. There's not. Is that
a requirement? Is he going to get hung up? If they grant it, is he going to get hung up in the construction department?
Let me ask you a different question.
Yeah.
Let me ask the question a different way. Why would you not put the showroom on the first floor?
They want the storage.
They want the storage.
I'm flexible with some of that. I want to work with you guys.
It's not even with them. Yeah. We're talking practically. Sorry. If they grant an approval and you're showing this, the construction department, in my opinion, is going to deny you a construction permit based on the Uniform Construction Code.
You need an elevator or first floor access.
Right, unless you may...
Let's show them on the first floor,
man. Or in a separate building.
Or in a separate building.
The issue is having the public get to the second floor.
Right.
Not knowing the code.
Right.
Step off on the second floor first.
Yeah, we could
do that. Step off on the second floor.
Okay, so now, Chris, now mark that Exhibit A2. Now you're going to do some markups. All right, and also, since you're doing this, draw a nice black line through the phase one and phase two, and then give a nice arrow, you know, phase one from left to right, and then phase two from left to right.
He might be okay.
We just don't know.
Yeah, it is a showroom, though. But instead of a very small office.
Correct. Yeah. Right.
I think if you're open to the public,
I got to tell you, I think from what I've seen in my other world of life,
yes,
this isn't town, this is state.
I've had them ask me about ADA for pump stations.
Wow.
We have to provide utility use groups.
You guys want to take a 5-minute recess? Do you want to take a 5-minute recess to get yourself coordinated? If you're not doing this on the record?
Sure,
sure. Can I have the 5-minute recess so they can mark
if they want one, take 3 minutes.
Is that a longer application? No, he's not putting them up.
Great. Can stay with yours. Just going to take a recess to mark up that drawing.
Yeah, good.
Thank you. So, you know, there's a thought I'm having, and I'm just bouncing it out here. It seems like there's still some work to be done to figure out what you want to do. We try to be accommodative here as a rule and try to get things through, but I'm worried we're trying to fix and solve something on the fly, which may be more difficult. Maybe we ought to just go back up 20,000 feet, talk about what variances you're looking for, surface whatever questions or issues are here, and then maybe go work it out a little more, whether you want things on the first floor, second floor. There's a few other questions we all have, I think, that are probably worth at least surfacing before we get down into each little specific detail.
And there's cost involved, too, I would think, with our professionals.
Right.
For them to figure it out here.
Right.
So why don't you have
Let me just ask the board professionals if they have anything they want to say in their report.
At least if we can, while we're brainstorming and while you're thinking about it, let's make sure we sort of surface some of the other more key things. I mean, some of these on here, just pull out your most key concerns. I'll jump out because I got the two I have that come to mind was this one lot versus two lots, and if that's, you know, the easements and the interrelatedness. But my bigger question is, I don't know if there's a way to look at this layout, but I really have a concern with trucks coming off of 31 and then being trusted to, even if we make a right left turn only, not making a right turn going down past our town park, Bunt Park, you know, swinging a right on Lilac and then coming back out Allerton as a way to go back north on 31. Oh, they'll make the turn. They were just... So I only throw it out because maybe there's another, I don't know, maybe there's another way to keep, you know, I just look at it and I don't like to see trucks coming off of a highway onto a secondary road. But that's a point I throw out there.
Well, one of the questions I had to that point is how often do you get deliveries? You don't have to tell us now, but I think when we come back, you know, let us know, are you getting five trucks a day, one truck a month?
That's right, not now.
You know, right, not now, but just, to help us understand.
Just to help us understand that, because I think the last thing you want is all of a sudden having complaints that...
That's a delicate neighborhood.
That road having scars from speeding and right. So... And I would sort of throw that out there as an entree, but between, you know, Larry and Tom, and anything else that jumps out to think about as they're brainstorming this year.
Yeah, well, maybe I'd ask Chris, too, is there anything in my report that you want to discuss? I think there was an issue with a fire suppression tank for a commercial facility without public water, but... It was brought to my attention by Chris that there's a hydrant at the intersection of the schoolhouse and 34.
No, it's where the driveway comes out of the office complex that the municipal building's in. So it's about 250 feet.
Could you just go up to that exhibit A1 and just mark?
I would have marked it, but it's
about here. Okay. It's off the exhibit. Yeah. Okay.
So it's about 250 feet from where the driveway is. Mm-hmm. Up to where the entrance exit out of the municipal complex comes out to that schoolhouse, and there's a hydrant right there. So about 250 feet away. I think the ordinance says hydrants every 800 feet, so certainly we're within that space.
Can someone explain to me, what's the fire suppression tank obviously needs enough water in it, and that's why you're talking about how close to a fire hydrant?
Yeah, I mean, it's local municipal code. It's similar to what we've seen in other applications where they need an underground storage tank to have water supply for firefighting.
Okay. So is he saying that they don't need underground because they have a hydrant with 800 feet?
Yeah. Now, I would like to defer to the fire official to get their interpretation on that.
Yeah. But that's
okay.
That's
yeah, right. And I don't have it. That's what we had talked about before, no. And I have no issue with that. Okay. Certainly,
yeah,
I mean, I would think that they would prefer to have the hydrant.
We understand. Yeah, I think that's understood. That
yeah.
You have
I mean, one of the things too, we talk about the phasing, but I don't know if that includes site improvements. You talked.
The phasing was strictly building. So all the site improvements would go in.
Is this a slab on grade building?
Yes.
So the slab for phase two is not going to be installed until the building, or are you going to do the whole slab and then?
Slab.
So you're going to have a slab in place
slab.
And do the building later, if that remains the plan.
If that remains the plan, correct.
Right. Okay.
Without it being used for outdoor storage and equipment or material.
Right. Well, I already marked down if there's going to be an approval, there's going to be a condition: no outdoor storage of material or equipment, because the applicant said the principal said it's not going to happen. Right.
Well, we talked about
equipment. I thought we talked about box trucks, and there was going to be certain vehicles that were outside.
Okay, vehicle storage. Vehicle, extended vehicle parking is okay, but we're talking no outdoor storage of
like construction, the construction materials.
Material and construction equipment.
Right.
The master plan, which we can't do now. We have a lot of stuff outside.
Right. Right, but if you do this,
that's correct.
Right, if the board approves it, there's going to be a condition saying that.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think I know we're showing the circulation pattern going through here. I think it was another point to make that we're showing one way in and then through. Certainly it's one way through past the proposed building. I think we'd like to maintain the two-way access out of lot 10 in the existing.
So the plan doesn't show that right now.
It's showing the circulation going through, but yes, the intention would be to maintain two-way on the existing two-way.
So people pull in the new building to park near the showroom. They'll go out on.
They're going to have to come out the red school.
Okay, so just whatever changes you make, make sure you got an in arrow and an out arrow. Just so.
Chris, are those arrows just to demonstrate traffic patterns, or are you actually going to paint those on the ground?
I thought those were going to be painted on the ground.
I mean, we could paint them on the ground.
That's sometimes they don't just there to pick traffic patterns. They aren't always painted.
The existing is wide enough. I mean, existing is two-way.
But to clarify, I was confused with that.
No, I know, and I understand, and I completely understand why that's.
I think if you paint those arrows on the ground as traffic markings, it's going to be very confusing just for someone to know that they come out of block 10.
Okay, listen, this is another thing to figure out how you're going to do it.
That's an issue. What else, landscape and or, you know?
The only thing that might be an overlap with the planning was the variance for the impervious coverage on lot 10, but I think because you're removing some of the asphalt?
Yes. Yeah, we were removing so that we maintain, right, because we're adding some pavement here off of the existing to get this driveway constructed, mm-hmm. and we were going to remove an equal amount in the rear.
Because you already had a pre-existing non-conforming for impervious.
Correct, and we were going to stay at that pre-existing non-conforming level.
Okay. So that would stay at the same. Okay.
So the impervious coverage would stay the same. It would just be horse trading it around a little bit.
Okay. So then, what other variances at this point would there be? And I'm sort of leading you, Tom, but you can throw some of your.
Yeah. Well, so there's. One that I have a question about is the loading space dimensions. It may be compliant, but I forget the ordinance says it's either 12 by 60 or 14.
It's 14 by 60?
That's the requirement. Right?
That's the requirement, and the loading space goes from 16 on the south side to 10 on the north side, and it's about 84 feet long.
So that's a nitpicky thing, but technically variance. And yeah. I had questions about the functionality of that. Anyway, but there's accessory structures in the front yard. The stormwater basin in the front yard, I think, is technically a variance.
Yeah.
I think these are, I guess, septic fields also.
The septic, yeah, so the septic field in the rear, well, side yard here towards the water company and the parking spaces. These parking spaces on the west side are also, they're both in the setback and would require relief.
Right, the parking spaces are within the 25-foot setback. That's something I didn't pick up in my report. We also have just a question about signage, which we don't have to get into if you have any proposed.
So we have we'll talk about it while we're here. There's the existing sign that somebody nicely modified by driving into the ditch and then plowing into the sign, which my wife called me and said, somebody drove into the sign and sent me a picture of it. Was that?
That it wasn't.
Oh, no, it was not.
My sign out.
So they took the sign out. So it's kind of patched together and sitting there. The sign right now is 6x4, so it's 24 square feet. It complies with the ordinance. It is only 5 feet off the property line, which doesn't comply. Right, because we need to be 15. The proposal was to move the sign to the other side of the driveway. The reason for that being the gas station, between the gas station and all the DOT signs that are there, there's a litany of signs that go along there, and it really blocks the visibility of that. So moving it down a little bit before we move it into all the landscaping to give some better visibility, we wanted to do. We'd still be that 5 feet off. So, you know, technically we're moving the sign. It's at that 5 feet. We're going to move it, though, so it would need that relief. Actually, it would be a little bit. It would be about 3.2 feet off of the side property line. So there's probably some. There's relief not as related to the size of the sign, but. but the location.
And long impact site distance, again, something you can think about.
Correct.
People if, entering or exiting can see clearly.
It actually helps, if anything, because when you're exiting, you're looking left here and left only because you can't cross the highway. Mm-hmm. So the sign right now would be, if anything, in the way, and moving it to the right side would get it out of the way of the site distance.
I'm just going through my... I think I saw a mention of a generator somewhere. I just didn't see it on the site plan.
I put a giant question mark on that. You had a comment about a fence, about a 8-foot chain link fence to be removed.
Yeah,
I didn't know what that was. I think that might be a carry. It kind of seems like a carry comment from maybe like a cell tower case or something. Not
disregard it.
So
the generator in the comment mm-hmm. 3 and the fence comment 4, we just scratch them out, yes?
Yeah. We had also noted in the notice relief for the existing nonconformity of the size of the lot for lot 11, because it's a 64,730 square foot lot and 75,000 is required.
Yes, he has that in his chart.
We talked about the
separate. See, that's when if you merge the lots, both of those nonconformities would go away. Because you have lot 10 is 12,752.
It would comply.
Lot 11 is 64,730. If you had merged them together, you'd have more than 75,000.
I'm aware.
No.
And then we had the septic, the parking, and
you know
the retention.
Your FAR might go up though, if you merge them.
Yeah, we didn't do a study of all the impacts.
And if the FAR went over 15, you'd be at the Board of Adjustment.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that. No?
I like you guys. Not that I don't like them, but I like you guys.
And your maximum impervious,
even
if you merge them, that would go up too.
Yeah, the combined would stay under the table. That is actually
no,
on the
you
table.
Would?
The combined would be 33%, and the standard's 40. So we'd be okay on that, but the FAR might become an issue. So. So that's I think what the relief was. I think going through Jim's memo as well would be helpful because I think I had more things underlined in Jim's memo than I had anybody else's.
Okay.
And would love to hear feedback from the board and from Jim on that. So we haven't gone through it in detail, what I feel is a very substantial landscape buffer on the property. It does not comply with the buffer standards for a number of reasons. One being limitations to the easement that the water company has on the south side of the property. The east side of the property, as it faces Route 31, the ditch, there's a ditch in there that's collecting water for the DOT, comes up on a slope, up to the stormwater basin that is proposed. That's this blue piece here, and then down into the basin. So planting in that space, where you have the spillway overflow is somewhat constrained. We did kind of mass a lot of plantings on the north side here. We have an evergreen buffer going along the west side.
It seems like you've added more there. On the west side, is there more there than there was before?
No,
okay,
no.
It's just colored green instead of black and white.
Yeah, it just pops out maybe a little bit better than it did before.
Go back to the west side where you're saying you have that, you're adding it.
Here?
Or is it the lower side where you're coming in?
Oh, in here.
Yeah, I think there you could even add more below that.
And you mean in this space here. And I appreciate that comment. And not that it's necessarily the board's concern on cost, but, I mean, it's there's a lot of landscape material going in here, and
cost is not.
I know. Believe me, I get it.
Exception.
I get it. You know, could we augment within that space? Yes. I think, you know, some of the, there's obviously, everybody knows, been some tree removal on the site. There was a lot of trees that were dying, a lot of trees that were, got vines choking them out. There were some that were dead. There were some that were just kind of garbage.
Actually, the survey said everything was in good condition.
Did it? That was a terrible survey. Whoever did that.
Which I was not surprised at, but I guess.
No. Well, I think just for the purposes of compliance, we were just not parsing.
Let me ask a professional, if I might. What would be the purpose of augmenting that landscape buffer in the lower right corner? So we'll say
just because we're getting them some, I mean, they're asking for so much other relief and trying to get somewhere close to what the ordinance requirements are. I think just adding some more there would help buffer it a bit, that corner of the building. I mean, my biggest concern really is not so much that section. It's the visibility from Route 31.
Right.
I mean, it's a 28-foot tall and a 23-foot tall and 28-foot tall building with two elevations. And there's really not much of anything to really buffer that visibility. There is some foundation plantings, but their maturity height of those as proposed is about 3 feet.
Can
so,
I? It's
an opinion. But I have to share my opinion. It's a very attractive-looking building, in my opinion. It is the highway corridor, and people buy things on the highway corridor because they have visibility and they have access.
Yeah, but this is not retail. This is home business improvement.
But
it's not like a retail store where they see something and they're going to go in and shop.
But there's still a benefit to having, you know, this is his attractive building that, you know, he does this kind of work and you want it to look nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice, so attractive. I mean, you're trying to hide a building.
Between the south east corner and the northeast corner, you're proposing just essentially no plantings, correct?
There's existing plantings there, and I know you made a comment about that there was additional that would need to be removed based on the grading, and I looked at it and said, okay, we need to look at the grading to keep those trees.
If the board is fine with it as is, okay, say it, but if it's not, then why don't you make the suggestion that he get together?
That's where I was getting to, because I don't see the point in planting additional in the spot just to plant additional and limit the number. But I would much rather see a little bit better planting in between where that gap is.
In this space?
Yeah.
Lower shrubs?
Something.
Which I think is the
street
suggestion.
Street trees, something.
Well, there's not a lot of room.
You really can't put trees on it because you're going up on the slope.
I'm not suggesting something big, but also something that wouldn't obscure the building entirely, but provide you a nice access.
And I think we'd be fine doing that, putting some shrubs on this on the downslope on it.
That was
your suggestion.
I know you're restricted by that channel, that said drainage channel. There's really not much street tree you can do there because of that. And also you have the overflow from the basin.
Right.
I'm not asking to hide the building, but I think maybe just getting some undulation instead of just having a 3 foot high, because there's some gaps between some of the windows, you could certainly get
put something columnar. Okay.
Jim, there was a suggestion to put something like forsythia along the frontage or something lower, but
it's such a higher elevation of the building. I don't know that's really going to do much, but right. I mean certainly I think some shrubbery wherever you can get it on that slope I think would help.
Do you want to work with Jim?
I think so. I mean, again, what we were trying to do here was surface some of the bigger questions. It seems to me. Disagree with me. There's a lot still moving around on here with first floor, second floor, elevator, no elevator, you know, a lot of these questions. You know, I think it would be a more prudent use of everyone's time and effort to try to go work some more of these out, having heard and some of these reports, you know, knowing what you've heard from either the board and the professionals.
And I personally think it's important for us to recognize that they can't plant anything in that area that has an easement with the water authority. So
can I ask, what size pipes are in there. They're huge.
I don't yet. Yeah. I think huge would be probably the best I can give you.
They're at least 55 inches.
Yeah.
Do you know how far under the surface of the ground they are?
I wanted to ask that before. It looks like there are some trees.
There's vegetation that's in there. I think that...
I'm looking at your landscape plan. Aren't there some trees down here?
Those trees on the landscape plan, these right here, are just outside of the easement space.
The plantings are outside the easement. Yeah. There is existing.
Yeah, they are just beyond the easement line. Okay.
We're talking about the existing that's shown.
Oh, there is existing within it.
That's what he's asking about.
Let me put it this way. We can plant within that space, but then they can come in and wipe it all out. So if there's a site plan approval that says the trees are there, and then they come through and they just...
Well, quickly, do they do that, or would they only do that if they have to do maintenance?
They would only do that if they need to do maintenance. And quite frankly, they have this large space as well, because if they wanted to have a laydown area for any large construction,
they could restrict that. Plantings, or did not?
No, agricultural things were fine. So
this isn't necessarily agricultural. This is planting. I mean, if I was the authority, I wouldn't want trees over my pine.
No, I agree. Can you show me the easement roughly with the pen or something, or the light pen?
The light pen.
Yes,
and before you go, Chris, take the site plan to show them on the site plan where the easement is. It's on. Take the site plan sheet. Show them the easement line first. Then use the red. It's on there.
I can see it.
We're looking at the landscape plan.
I don't
see it.
It's hitting underneath.
How long was it?
I don't want to overburden the site with plantings just for the sake of having plantings. But if we can get some in places that make sense.
And that's reasonable.
You said you were going to change the grading along Fieldhouse Road.
I think, the intention would be that we would go and revisit that to maintain those trees, because, they are providing a decent buffer right now, and if we can maintain that would be good.
So where are we here?
What I have.
What
was the suggestion, John, for the if we're going to do revisions to drawings, just get rid of the warehouse terminology on the plans.
There's one spot on the parking schedule, because I said warehouse storage, and I know I hate using the word warehouse, but when I come in here, I know it is taboo. Yeah. However, your ordinance, the way it's written, the standard doesn't say storage. The standard says warehouse. So
you could make a footnote saying that you're using the warehouse.
Right.
Fair.
Yeah.
Okay. If that's the parsing that works, we understand we are not a warehouse and we don't seek to be one.
So you were listening.
Yeah. So the truck usage issue, the fire suppression tank, go to the fire department, talk about that. Phasing right now is strictly the building. Talking about possibly maybe getting rid of the second floor, putting it all on the first floor. Changing the lot 10 access to ingress and egress, landscaping to be enhanced by working with Jim, and eliminate warehouse terminology. Does anyone have anything else that they have to look at before they do a plan revision?
By giving us that, did he drop the consolidation of the lot issue? Seemed like he wanted us.
Did we address the lighting report? And do you have any comments on that?
The lighting report, I was quite pleased with that. Let me pull that up. So this is Mr. Harkin's report of April 27th. Basically, we need to make sure the light poles stick out of the grounds.
Put it this way. Is there anything here you object to?
The only thing that I had a comment to that I said I wouldn't do, or not wouldn't just outright, is there is a little bit of light trespass going towards the west onto the water company. It's like a 0.1, and onto lot 3.01. There's like a 0.1, 0.2, and that's without any screening. There are there's this row of spruce trees in here that would cut that off. So I believe that that 0.1.2 is gone. You already have a nightlight test required. So if we need to put shields in, we put shields in to break it off. That's if we have to. I don't think we're going to need them once you put the trees in, but if necessary.
Are you going to move the poles back to the 4 feet?
No, we're going to leave the poles and raise them up.
Put them on the concrete.
Yeah, put them up higher on the concrete.
But I mean, where I go to take the kids, there's a couple of meters in the park.
Yeah.
Doesn't
matter if you put
color temperature.
Well, yeah, we'll bring it down to whatever makes everybody happy. 4,000 is a bit much. It's kind of a little too blue.
Yeah.
So.
I had a comment about hours. Could you add hours of operation for the list?
Yeah, we can add hours of operation on there.
So you can make, when you come back, you can make the all these lighting revisions you can make, so then you get, you'll have zero.
Cleaner letters. I would love to have a letter from Mr. Harkins that said, you're good.
Right.
Be very happy. And just, well, he's not going to, because we're still going to have...
He will, if you put a note saying that you're willing to take a condition for a nightlight test and only have to put shields in if you don't pass the test.
Can I make a recommendation? Why don't you just run the calcs, the photometry with the...
With the trees in it? Oh, with the... Well, because I think the trees would...
Can I tell you something? It's going to cost them more money to do that than just to have a condition. They have to have the light test anyway.
Right, lighting calcs. Do you
go doing
either of those in-house?
No.
Yeah.
Right, got to hire somebody.
And if there's some of the concerns about the truck traffic, is it possible to do with a vehicle turning movement plan to show you? Do you hear that you're getting large truck deliveries?
Which, there's a nice example of online.
I know. They show the tractor trailer right there. Is that a 55-foot long tractor trailer that you're showing on that exhibit?
I'm sure it is.
Maybe Chris on the turn movement plan just to show that I can get in and out into the loading dock and out back on the road schoolhouse and make the left.
Or it needs to go left and it needs to be discouraged from going right by some sort of awkward turn or some sort of a, so they don't, because I know what these truck drivers do. They do what they want to do.
Is
no, that's why, because they don't care. They're going to do what they want to do.
They don't care.
Yeah, because if you put the sign up, turn left.
You hear what he's saying? Besides signage, Ryan is suggesting...
Make a physical, I would like to see some sort of a concrete high hip.
Can make a left.
So if they want to make that left, they're going to scour themselves, and then they're going to not do it again. I don't want to see large trucks going through residential areas. That's me. Just so you all know where I'm coming from.
And I think it's a more than valid concern and something that should definitely be addressed. We can look at it, and I'll talk with Larry about it. Obstruction on the edge of the road. That's a safety hazard.
But even if you make the angle, I'm not an engineer, make the angle really cant this way, so if he wants to try to make that right turn illegally, he's going to really get himself boxed up.
Yeah.
And there's no concerns with the left turn onto Red Schools and the right turn onto 31. Like, that intersection is all going to work? Or?
And if you get out of the schoolhouse, you should be able to make the right onto 31.
Okay.
Yeah, so
the harder turn is going to be coming out of the school.
Yeah, because it's just relatively.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, because you're coming across the shoulder.
That's why I make sure you have a turning movement plan, not only for interior, but for the left out of the site.
Yeah, left out of the site onto schoolhouse and then.
Right. Correct.
Yeah. Try and make it look.
Anyone have anything else? Because when they come back, it would be great if they had, you know, if they did every.
Yeah.
You might not agree with it, but at least if they address everything.
I think it's a good. I think it's good to try to go back and get the benefit of all of this.
Storage is restricted to just their operation.
Yes. Yeah. There'll be a condition if it's approval. That's what the applicant's principal said.
Good.
Storage only related to your operation. Correct. And it's indoor storage.
Can we call it, well, are we saying to the construction, the home improvement contractor business on the site, as opposed to, I just don't want it to be
home
overly
improvement
specific.
Business, sure.
He means ladders as well as.
Yeah. Well, no, I just don't want it to say a condition that says it's storage related to his business only.
I get it.
And I would just encourage the applicant to go back and when you're trying to solve the problem for public access and ADA compliance and all. Do it whatever way makes the most sense for you, and then come back to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have, you've heard a bunch of different ideas.
Okay. Well, so now for Jeff, check this additional application fees and escrow deposits based on the additional relief that's required. So check that. Make sure. Talk to Denise about that.
Denise will contact me. I'm sure we'll speak about it.
Call her. You contact her.
Okay.
Good.
And I guess if the office space is maintained on the second story, and if for whatever reason you decide to add additional showroom office space on the first floor, we have to look at parking. The parking issue.
Right.
You're going to increase the requirement.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Good. Okay.
So here's the thing. Do you have any idea of how long it will take you to do this so we can get this thing adjourned to a date certain so you don't have to re-notice?
Do you want things 10 days prior or 21 days prior?
Well, the rule says 21.
Just why I'm asking.
And just so you understand, the rule says 21, so you can get their reports 10 days ahead. So just if the board's going to waive the 21, no one complains if you get their report the day of the hearing.
Well, I got so two of them this morning, so I mean I'm not going to complain.
Okay.
I think 10 is fine, especially since they'll be talking to half of them anyway in the meantime.
Half the office are done already.
Yeah, if you guys are, we're trying to keep it moving as long as we all are right.
So you still do 2 a month?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, not this.
Well,
I know, but look and see.
Let's see.
No.
Right.
No.
Come up with a.
Yeah, let's let him come up with a date first.
Well, so what are your June meetings? Is it 6 and 20? Because like June 20, I think is very reasonable. We get you things by the 10th of June. It gives us a month.
6 and 20.
Yeah.
So, what you want this carried till when? June 20th, without the need for further notice.
Are you safe with that?
Yeah. Are you safe with that? You don't have a choice. Okay.
I don't have a choice.
And we're still. This thing wasn't deemed complete. It was deemed complete at the beginning of April, and then they have variances. It's 120 days, May, June, July, plenty of time. Okay, for the hearing, this application is carried without need for further notice to June 20th, 2022, but you have to have the plans submitted at least 10 days before that, or the board would not be able to approve them.
By the 10th of June.
Right. Plans have to be submitted by the 10th of June.
Understood.
Please, I'll be in contact. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for the feedback, everybody.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the courtesy.
Thank you. There's water, but it ends right over there.
I don't think there's water.
I don't think there's water.
Is there a system built in? Maybe a tank? I don't know.
Oh, what is the big tank?
Many buildings on.
Right, but we said to put a sticker on it. I missed it.
Oh, it is.
Where's the A2 sticker?
So maybe there's a big tank for fire suppression.
No, hold it. Where's the A2 sticker? You have it. Right. We marked it. It's in the end.
Okay.
In the end. Listen. Okay, what about this? You don't want it. I'm not thinking about this. Well, the board, you just want the paper? Sure, you're going to have to bring this back. That thing was not answered.
I'm a board.
And it was yours.
You sure are a board because I was in the house on that.
I don't know. That one you got to take off the board, right?
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Jill, Mr. Vecchio, I'm going to refuse from this.
Take that one off the board. Just take the board. You can leave it to the plan.
Oh, you're ragged.
That is A2. She's got to carry. You got to carry the boards, man. We,
no, I can't. No. Here.
She's got to move from the other office.
To
here. Thank you.
Do you want to vote or Brian, or do you want
to?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I thought I need my package.
The tape is still rolling. You can email all of us.
Okay. I am. All right, it is 8:47. Chairman Sine has recused, and Vice Chairman Higgins is taking over the meeting.
Can Vice Chairman Higgins talk louder, please?
I'll do my best. Or do what you guys usually do. I'll move a separate microphone over. Yeah, mumbles. Okay. It's all your counselor.
I'm the quiet guy.
Good evening, Mr. Vice Chair, members of the board, professionals. My name is John Mills. I'm a lawyer in Morristown. I have the privilege of representing the Chabad of Huntington County. Hopefully this petition to you is a lot less complex than what you just went through. Essentially, and I'm sure you all recall, back on February 5th of 2018, this board approved the Chabad's application to construct a synagogue on Payne Road. Construction, as I understand it, is essentially complete. In fact, Rabbi Kornfeld here told me today that we were supposed to have the parking lot striped, but unfortunately the inclement weather precluded that. We are here primarily because of the landscaping. The resolution required a couple of things. It required the Chabad to secure a certificate of occupancy within a certain period of time. That time has elapsed. It further linked the CO, final CO, to the completion of the landscaping, which we candidly tell you is not yet complete. Our request then is that we would like to render this building functional for its intended purpose. To do that, we need a temporary certificate of occupancy. That's what we are asking you for. In order to get that, we're borrowing from the language in paragraph 4 of the resolution, which offered up the opportunity for the Chabad to post a bond and secure a temporary CO. And in that regard, I think we may need a little bit of exemption based on planting season versus non-planting season. But the intent and purpose of that paragraph 4 is clear, and I think the board, when it granted the relief, intended to design in some flexibility to allow us to get to a position where we need to be. And that is our petition. Rabbi, have I omitted anything?
You did not.
Okay. So there you have our case.
Okay. To be specific about this, I have a copy of your letter.
Does the rabbi need to be sworn?
Yep. Let's get the rabbi and our
minister of the oath.
Yeah. Would you want professionals? We just need the rabbi. Yeah. You swear or affirm testimony you're going to give in this matter will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay. So I have a copy of resolution 2018-01, and I've highlighted condition number 4, which is landscaping, and I've highlighted condition number 12, the time within which to obtain construction permits and a permanent CO. So based on what you just said and what your letter says, I have proposed language changes that I'd like to float by everybody. Okay, so as to the easier one is condition number 12, the time within which to obtain construction permits and a permanent CO. The applicant shall apply for and obtain any and all construction permits for all aspects of the proposed development by February 6, 2020. And then the applicant shall also have 1 year from the date of the issuance of the first construction permit to commence and obtain a permanent CO. So what exact date You were here for, oh yeah, you weren't here for the first application. What exact date are you looking for to have that extended to? How much time, forget, the temporary CO is going to come in condition four.
Right.
How much time do you think you need, and be conservative, to get a permanent CO so you don't have to come back here again?
How far out would the board find disturbing?
Well, I mean, what's your plan?
To get it done as soon as possible, but obviously, you know,
there's a lot of money involved with the landscaping. We acknowledge that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say,
I tell you what, hold on.
I'd like to say 3, 6, 9 months. And I mean, those are the numbers that, I mean, I would like to say 3 weeks.
I would have a suggestion for the rabbi.
I would take it through the planting season a year from now myself.
I was going to say, yes.
When would that fall? You'll be back there again.
So June 1st of next year.
Okay, so what you want is, instead of saying the applicant has 1 year from the date of issuance of the first construction permit to commence construction and obtain a CO, what you want is the applicant shall have until June 1, 2023 to obtain a permanent CO.
Now, I would just ask our landscape expert, just as informal advice,
yeah.
Since yours truly knows very little about landscaping, thought June 1 would be the end of a planting season. Is that approximately correct, in your opinion?
You probably could extend it slightly further, but I think that's a good
well, if we can extend it slightly further, why don't we extend it slightly further?
To the middle of line, say June 15th.
Okay. Agreeable. Certainly for me.
Okay. So that takes care of the modification to condition 12. Obviously, the applicant is fine with that.
Yes.
And it looks like the board is fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, stick with me on condition number 4. There's no change in the following, and then I'll read the changes. So it's going to remain all landscaping as installed, shall conform to and be in accordance with the landscaping plan approved and signed by the board, in which landscape plan shall include any and all landscape changes required by condition number 1 above. Prior to the issuance of a permanent CO, completion or compliance, whichever is applicable, and prior to the release of any performance bond, the landscaping shall be installed in a 2-year maintenance bond in a form acceptable to the township attorney, and an amount acceptable to the township engineer shall be posted with the township, period. Here's the change. Again, instead of doing this non-planting season stuff, this is my proposal based on what they asked for, and assuming the planning board's going to be okay with this. The applicant may apply for a temporary certificate of occupancy without having completed the required landscaping, but if and only if the applicant posts a performance bond in a form acceptable to the township attorney in an amount acceptable to the township engineer guaranteeing installation of the required landscaping during the next planting season and further guaranteeing the subsequent posting of a 2-year maintenance bond, period. That would give them the right to get a temporary CO if they post.
The only thing is the next planting season is the fall, and we're allowing them until June.
Okay, so instead of the next planting season, we'll say no later than June 15th, 2023. Sound good to you guys? Sound good to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Sound good to you guys?
Yes, and the common understanding would be that that would allow us, upon the posting of this bond,
to get a temporary CO. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
We're very happy with that. Thank you.
Now, do you want to bring up a report?
June 15th, 2023. That's condition number 4.
Do you want to bring up a report that would help define the amount of the bond?
Well, look, you got to, they have a copy of the report.
Oh.
Okay.
Then let me bring it up.
Okay.
I honestly, I don't know how y'all fix this. There's many, many fairly expensive plantings that are not done per the plan. It's like somebody just decided, well, you know, we need an 8-foot tree. I'll put a 6-foot tree in. That'll be okay. There are multiple instances of plant materials being substantially undersized. So I would urge you to have your landscape architect, whoever he might be, consult with our landscape architect and agree on what changes have to be made here to as closely conform to the township ordinance in this regard and the agreement that formed our approval, you know, in this matter. And further, before maybe whoever put this stuff in thought it was the right stuff, but our landscape architect certainly doesn't. So you might ask our landscape fellow to come by the next time there's a truckload of material coming in so that there's no mistake in terms of what's going into the ground and what may or may not be removed from the ground.
I'm going to make one more suggestion.
Please.
In this particular application, John Thomas, the board's conflict landscape architect,
correct,
was involved because Brian Bosenberg had a conflict.
Correct.
Brian Bosenberg is no longer involved, so that conflict has disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
So John Thomas did the report.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to ask the applicant, this is no, we're not giving the applicant like the choice of, you know, picking your forum. This is not forum shop. But since Jim does not have a conflict, if you would like to deal with Jim because there's no longer a conflict, then I would ask the board that in this extension thing, mm-hmm, will now specifically state that the landscape architect you're going to deal with now is Jim going forward. If you want to stick with John, then we just leave it alone. You guys want to talk about that?
No, I'm comfortable going with the one that's typically here, and because the conflict is no longer here to go with.
He probably has a better sense,
yeah,
for what the board would be.
His firm over the years has been able to, the board has expressed enormous confidence in their firm, and they've been very good at being able to work out issues with applicants and the material that's in the ground. So
sure,
that would seem like a very good,
okay,
choice,
so
for
I'll
everybody
add that
concerned.
To this,
yeah. Thank you, John.
That's all right with you, Jim, right? I checked with him before I said that. Okay, so someone want to make a motion to grant those two extensions and to also have the resolution state that Jim is now going to be taking over the for the board's landscape architectural engineer on this application.
Well, I'll make the motion. I'll introduce it in both regards.
Second.
And we could vote on them separately, I suppose.
No, you can do
no?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait,
are you doing
two votes?
Nope. One. There's a motion to grant the extensions as set forth on the record and to appoint Jim as the board's landscape architectural expert for this application.
Mr. Blaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhand?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Okay.
Thank you all
thank
so
you
very much.
And sorry, John, for making you stay later by telling you that it was 7:30. That's on me. I would have, at about 6:45, I thought maybe at 7 o'clock, and I sent a text, but
yeah.
Anyways. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate it.
Thank
have
you.
A good night.
I don't much memory left.
No,
this is an ancient one.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I've got Denise's. I've got Denise's book there.
Oh wow!
Oh shoot! I'm so not used to chairing.
So
that's right.
Yeah, just.
Starting at the third floor. If the applicant applies, right, we're not going to have
just. Well, we still have a quorum.
That's what I got.
All right.
Four
seats here now. You know, we still have a little bit of business, so. I am so out of practice in terms of chairing a meeting. So. Communications,
like
new business.
Bike, riding a horse.
I know. No, no. I have my life back, more or less. Do we have an approval? Oh, do we have vouchers?
I saw vouchers. I'm with vouchers.
Okay. All right. Do we need a roll call for vouchers?
I'm sorry, what?
I moved the vouchers. Bill Tech. Who? John?
Bill did.
Bill Gunn?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Okay. Mr.
Glazer? Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms.
Kleinhand? Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
And Mr. Millett?
Yes.
All right. Any report from councils?
It'll be very brief. I think our meeting was quite short. We had a great community day on Saturday for those who were able to make it. Very, really nice. Good weather, which is probably better than we could have asked for. Decent turnout. So it was good. It was good to get back in the swing of it. The next meeting has been moved from the 11th to the morning of the 10th to accommodate some potential scheduling conflicts. It'll be pretty quick, I would imagine, just dealing with the essential items, including the resignation of the CFO that we received recently, which is good and bad. Good, mostly. But we're sorry to see some folks that we used to work with go.
Yeah.
It'll be moving along.
How do you keep the CFO?
Well, we couldn't keep that CFO any longer.
We seem to go through them.
I think we'll have a new one, but I think it'll be very good for us, currently serving as our assistant CFO. I think we might actually have a minor site plan waiver ordinance before the council and the...
Go right ahead. That's the report from the ordinance committee.
So other than that, I don't know, Bill, did I miss much? Oh, Bill, actually, I should extol the virtues of Councilman Glazer, who helped work with the sewer authority to make application to Congressman Malinowski money from the appropriations fund for the sewer authority to improve pump station at Regional Road, the high school pump station. So I'll let Bill talk about that, but I think I got everything.
Yeah, we think it's a good application because it's got the regional high school, the regional low tech, sports portable housing. They said they like the application, but I joke that they tell everyone that. So we'll see. We'll find out. It's, you know, we got to go through hoops of Malinowski's filter and then the appropriations committee. So it's a long way to go. But it was a strong application, and Melissa and the CTSA folks pulled together pretty quickly. And Nancy from McDonald, nice job.
What are we looking for from the program?
So $1.2 million project is 80% of $1.2 million. It's about 900-some-odd thousand. So it's pretty substantial.
And lots of other towns nearby have been successful. Reddington got a bunch of money for a DPW facility, and you know the rest.
Oh, town of Clinton got water mains. I mean, those are very specific to their towns. Mm-hmm. We think our application, since it covers 8 towns, and sending it to the entire county for VOTEC, has some strength.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what the
congressman has so the solar panels at high school, there's a good nexus there.
There's only got 15 projects for his whole district.
But no brick and mortar in this town, if I recall. This requirement is that he wasn't going to try to fund any brick and mortar. So things like the DPW facility, less right. So than
the yeah, their preference was for regional items that could be done within the year. Like, we checked all the boxes because they were far along in their
draft.
So
we
have an application. So we'll see.
Hey, we got to get it while it's hot.
And the waiver of... The administrative waiver of site plan should be at the next council meeting. We talked about that earlier this evening. And if you have a small thing you want to do on your property, you see the zoning official would approve it if he or she can. If they can't, then you walk next door or in the same door, as the case may be, and see the lady with the planning board secretary hat on, who then can take a stab at an administrative waiver of the site plan appearance. And if he or she can't do that, then it comes before the board.
Deal process.
And or they decide, they get advice that don't even go before the board for that. You know, just submit a site plan.
I'm so happy the ordinance committee has finished this. Now you can get started on the rest of the stuff.
31 and one or two other
things. We have a list.
You still have to define a dwelling, I think.
God, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Mm.
I have another definition you may want to define. A through lot.
We just passed all of them, didn't we?
No.
I think it's double frontage, right?
Right. The through lot is double frontage.
Front and back, and on the rear and the front, right. That's a through lot.
But the ordinance doesn't exactly have a good definition, but that's what it is.
So, I think you guys need an ordinance.
That's what it should be.
So, for example, the rear and the front. Came up, a zoning issue. House is on Darby Court, which is the front of the house. The rear property line is on Lilac.
Oh, yeah.
Son of a gun. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one, I might be wrong. Is it Whispering Hills, the cul-de-sac? That driveway, I keep mistaking, that runs along the stream down to Lilac, down to Allerton.
So, yeah. Somebody put up a fence, and I happen to drive that way at work. Somebody put up a fence, mm-hmm. And it's not 75 feet from the property line. And I actually had to call John, because I was like, it's not a corner lot. We don't have anything, and that was when I learned the term through lot.
Got two front yards.
Two front yards and two side yards.
That's crazy.
Boy.
So,
wow.
It's like, what do we do with this? And then when I spoke to the homeowner, he had a very justifiable argument. The guy across the street had the same thing. Then I got some history on that, and apparently that was done 20 plus years ago without permits. So,
okay.
And that's, how do we want to?
Well, I've seen it where you can define the front yard. If you have a through lot or a double frontage lot, usually it's on a municipal road, or you define what would be considered your front, and then on the bulk standards, you have rear setbacks, and you have rear from street.
Right, because if you don't, these guys need a variance because they have two front yards, and the fence does not comply with the ordinance.
Now, so what happens if it's a corner lot that's a through lot? Which
is that
three front yards?
No, that's a peninsula lot.
That's a peninsula lot.
We've seen
that. That's fine.
No. No.
Peninsula. We should probably do that.
We did do
yeah,
that. We got a list.
That came up at Point Pleasant. Yeah, because it's a small
listen,
lot.
Right.
It happens.
It happens occasionally.
That property on Beaver, the one we cut tape, I worked with Tom at an application a long time. He talked about, the front is on Beaver and the rear is on 31. Isn't it, like, definitional, or... You're saying in this case, there's no deserved fronts.
Well, I think in that case, I remember which one you're talking about, the deli site was, but yeah. It was the cell tower. So technically, it does have two front yards.
Right.
The frontage facing Route 31 is the functional rear yard, but right. By code, they're both front yards.
Right. Both, oh, right. Okay. Unless you do something in the ordinance about it,
yeah.
That's two front yards.
Would a way, since we have some expertise here that we don't have, let's just shortcut it.
Yeah. Give us a towel that has some work.
I mean, out here, it's like, where's your mailbox? That's your front yard.
You can dictate where the address is or where the front entrance is, let's say.
Okay.
Right. I mean, if you have a side entrance, then all that's right. You can, but the address usually suffices if you're on Beaver Avenue,
yeah.
Right, Route 31. You have to. That's a double-edged sword, though. I mean, there may be other instances where you want it to have two front yards. You know, that's a question.
Yeah, but we'll just have to... Right.
But they can come for variance.
The object is
right. They could,
unless there's some reason to try to avoid making the people going
right.
For the variance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I've seen further restrictions. If you have like a rear lot, let's say the rear setback might be say 25 feet. If it's rear on a street, which would be a frontage lot that's not your front yard, you may make it 30. You still add a little bit more. It's
because it fell on the street.
It's still a street.
Yeah.
But it's not as deep as maybe the front yard, which may be 50.
Right.
Or whatever it might be.
Yeah, but in this case, the front yard setback is 50
it also
25.
Yeah. Impacts swimming pools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because swimming pools are supposed to go in the rear yard. If you have two front yards.
Accessory structure.
Right, but for a swimming pool, it's easier to see why you'd want a variance, because if people do have their front yards, front of houses on the other side of the street, you would want them to get a variance, so, you know, landscaping and fencing could be imposed, but for a fence, you might not want them to have to go get a variance.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not on the ordinance committee.
Just to give one more convoluted example.
Yeah, but you're still the mayor.
Let's say you're dealing with smaller lots in the Annandale Village section in the VR zone, and you have a through lot.
Right.
And, you know, the front of the house faces one street, the rear yard faces the other street, the functional rear yard. If you, let's say, have now a 6-foot solid fence, that creates, you know, like a walled-off condition. So, you know, again, it's, you have to think about it a little bit. But you... these are good cases to request variance relief for.
Yeah.
You know, if, depending how you want to do it.
How many three lots do we have at the town?
Well, that's that might something be, that I don't want
to
okay.
figure out. If, yeah. Well, how many? What? How big?
He's a studier. He'll determine that.
I don't know that much time. I really haven't got the answer to tell.
Well, yeah, well, no, we
should use the one as a starting
point. It's not just one lot. It's a big house on that side, and both sides of lilac. So the street.
Why don't you define the problem? Just a short note to us. Explain to us the problem that we're going to have to grapple with, and then we'll get going.
What do you want to do about roosters?
We already have that.
We already have a Board of Adjustment interpretation on roosters.
Oh, do we?
Oh, yes.
Somebody asked about roosters.
Oh, come. No one remembers? What? How people feel.
It was the rooster case, I think.
I'm in the boss.
Well, but that was before me.
But I thought I didn't
that
see
was
any ordinance with the roosters.
Correct. We have an interpretation.
Was it like a pet or something? Was it a house?
Yeah, the problem was, though, it was started as a pet, then they ate them for dinner. So
only with boss.
It was your dog. Well, yeah, if you're going to eat your pet, then it's not a pet, and you're raising it, you know, for food.
What is that? We also had a chicken case when Eric Peterson made the joke, and we were hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had a rooster. Oh, or at least a chicken.
That's a rooster. That's a rooster.
It is. I don't know. I'm a city kid.
Can I ask you guys something since you're all here? How many people have taken the required course, the state issued course that you have to take before you can sit on a planning board or board of adjustment?
Well, everybody's taken.
Okay.
A long time ago.
Okay, everybody except for Kate, but I'm going to just
gonna. Right.
Okay. If you got notice of an application that you were within 200 feet of the application, do you have to recuse yourself?
I would think so.
Okay.
Of course.
I would say so.
Okay.
Sure. You're like a party to the...
Because...
You're going to be prejudiced.
The court case has said since 1960 that you have an interest in the application because you got notice.
I feel like this is going somewhere.
No, because I had this case today in Camden County where not only did the board member not think it was a problem, but the board attorney didn't think it was a problem. I got an injunction on the construction of an addition, and the judge asked the guy building the addition, his attorney, argued in court. Well, everyone knew that the board member lived within 200 feet because they were on the 200-foot list. So obviously, if it was a problem, someone would have said something. So the judge, the judge says to the attorney for the board, "Didn't you recognize that that was a problem?" And she said that, "Oh, I wasn't aware of the McNamara case from 1960 in Grabowski until I read Mr. Drill's brief." Suffice it to say they lost, but I'm shocked. I mean, I've been asking now, planning board and board of adjustment members, is this like, this is not normal, right? Everyone knows that,
room?
Right?
Do you have to leave the room, or can you go into the...
If it's up to me, right? There's no case that says you have to leave the room. I advise my board members, nothing good is going to come of staying in the room.
But I've seen board members on other boards that are adamant that they're staying, and they go into the audience, but they're... Their presence, because they're on the
correct,
board.
Correct.
Their presence there can have influence.
Worse right. than that, it's not, let's see, it's not extraordinarily rare for somebody to sit back there and then be texting the people behind the desk.
Right, which is another no-no.
Not here.
I had a case in Ridgewood. Right, very controversial.
Oh, I
case.
Know. This is
what that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah, that was in the paper.
It was in the paper. They're, you know, we're in the high school because there are hundreds of objectors, and I'm representing the applicant, the hospital. And I'm sitting there, and they're up on the stage, and there's no curtain, and I'm seeing people texting away, and I'm seeing people in the audience. So I have my, what am I doing? I'm taking pictures of them texting. I'm taking pictures. Crazy stuff. I mean, this is not normal. You guys are an educated board. I thought so, but that's really good to know. Because my faith in board members and board attorneys in general, was shaken. During his argument today, I was like, but the land, am I in the Twilight Zone?
But forget about cases. Isn't it just common sense? You're going to be prejudiced one way or the other.
Yeah.
You can't decide.
I'm a member of the public. I only go far enough away that I can make
this. Well, what do I tell people? go in one of the rooms. Yeah. You can crack the door to listen, but no one can see you. Right? Mm-hmm. So the board members can't see you. If you go out in the audience, you know, maybe you still have feelings about it, so you're making faces. And,
yeah.
Who needs that?
Yeah. I spent more time back there than here when I was mayor. Oh, geez, thank you.
I got to get
They're all over the place.
All those in favor.